I will start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Now, I've been recorded before, and I've been recorded this way, but I've never been videotaped before, so this is a new one for me, so a little added extra nervousness and pictures and stuff. I appreciate you guys inviting me here today, and so good to see all you guys out here. I heard lots of good things about this church, and I'm, like I said, I'm happy to be here. Let's try to figure out what to talk about here tonight and what, you know, to kind of discuss with you guys. So I was starting to ask myself, if I could only meet a group of people one time, you know, and I only see you one time, and you only heard one thing in your entire life, what is it that I should talk to you guys about? What is it that you guys would hear about? So I decided that the most important thing in life that we need to know is exactly what this question is up right here, which is, what is God really like? Too often in life, I think we spend kind of figuring out ourselves and focused on ourselves. I don't think we spend enough time focusing on God. So let me ask you this question right now. If you had to take a test today and write down the answer to this question, what is God like? You could describe God in like one or two words. What would you say? Someone just came from the moon. Here I am. I'm Abuna Anthony. I came from Jupiter. All right, and I never heard of God. You people come here to worship God. What's God like? Is he nice? Is he mean? Is he big? Is he short? Is he loud? Is he FOB? Is he American? What is God like? If you had to ask what God is really like. The thing is, I believe this is the most important question that you can answer in life. Because if you don't understand what God is really like, you're going to lead a messed up life. All right, it's going to hurt you in ways that you don't realize. You know, once upon a time, they did a report, a study of the 50 of the most famous atheists of all time. People like Marx and Lenin and Freud and those kinds of funny people. People who didn't believe in God. And you know what they discovered about every single one of them? They all had something in common. What do you think it was? Each one of them had a very bad relationship or no relationship whatsoever with their father. And the reason that each one of them turned out to be atheist is because a lot of them projected their fatherly characteristics on their heavenly father, and that's why they couldn't relate to him. So I believe that if you don't understand who God is and what he's really like, you're going to have a tough time having a relationship with him. Hey, think about it. This is just something that makes common sense, right? Your relationship to me is based on what you think of me, right? If, let's say I say, where's John? My man John over here, we went to his house, had a nice meal, and he drove us over here. And I got in John's car, no problem, because I know Johnny's a nice boy, he's this and he's that, we're buddies. Now let's say I thought John was a maniac, crazy, axe murderer, killer, okay? Would I have been the same relationship with John? Would I have talked to him the same way? Would I have gotten in the car with him the same way? No, my behavior towards him would change based on what I think of him. Well, I believe it's the same thing about God. If you have the wrong impression of God, you will never have the life that God intended for you to have. And that's why a lot of us, you see a life filled with stress, life filled with anxiety, life of depression, life of guilt, life of all this kind of stuff. That's never the way God intended it to be. So what we want to do is try to figure out, what is God really like? And hey, I got news for you. If you want to know why Jesus Christ came into the world, he came to reveal who God is. This is an important thing, and it was so important that Christ came all the way from heaven down to earth to show us. Because if Jesus Christ didn't come down to earth, we would never know what God looks like. So, with that in mind, what do you think God is like? Well, let me ask you this question. If you were to go to Christ and ask him, what is God like? What do you think he'd say? If you could go to Christ and say, when I look at God, what should I look at? When I talk to God, what should I say? What would he say? Well, he would say what he said when his apostles asked him the same question. And George clicks to us there. He would say that what God is really like, he taught us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. When they asked him about what we should do when we pray before God Almighty, he said, call him your Father in heaven. He said, our Father in heaven, as it says right there in Matthew chapter 6. This is big stuff. Okay, I think we've gotten so used to saying the Our Father because we say it like a bazillion times every single day. You walk in the church saying Our Father. You do matanya, you say two or three on the way down. You stand up and you have to say more. We say like 1,000 Our Fathers a day. So we don't realize how big deal this is. This is a big deal. All right? Jesus Christ is teaching us that the creator of the universe, God Almighty, who rests the universe in his hands, he juggles it behind his back and around the back and shoots it with his left hand, God who can take all the galaxies and put them in between his fingers, he says, call him Daddy, call him Abba, call him your Father. This is, like I said, radical stuff. Do you know that when Christ came to this earth, all right, for the entire Old Testament, which covered thousands and thousands of years, do you know how many times the Old Testament refers to God as Father? Seven. Seven times in the entire Old Testament it says God is Father. It uses things like Almighty, things like that, but it very rarely says Father. Seven times in thousands and thousands of years. Christ called God Father in this chapter alone seven times. And more than 150 times in the Gospels it says, call God your Father. This is radical stuff. All right. This is big time news. This is like late breaking, like on the internet news. Hey, God is your Father. This is like a big deal. That all you to all this time you thought that God was a force, or God was a mean thing, or God is a like a wall or an icon or something like that. He's none of that stuff. He's your Father. Okay. And this is both, like I said, good news. But also, by the same token, it has some bad news, all right? That God is your Father, not a force. What's the good news? Well, the good news is very easy. That because God is a Father and He's not a force, I can have a relationship with Him. You can't have a relationship with a wall. You can't have a relationship with a dictator in the sky. You can't have a relationship with a God who you just come and bow before and you're never allowed to call Him Daddy or call Him your Father. So this means that I can be friends with Him. Is there any bad news associated with the fact that God is my Father? Yeah, what? He can punish you, okay? Yes, okay, let me try to take what you said and make it a little bit bigger. The bad news is that a lot of us, and I think, what's your name, man?
Lucas,
okay? Lucas just exhibited perfectly my point. The problem with calling God your Father is that every one of us thinks of our earthly father. And what happens when you say God is your Father, that whatever you think of your earthly father, you're going to sometimes project onto God. Like my man Lucas here, I don't know you very well, but my guess is that when Dad comes home from work, you may have something coming to you or something like that. That's the problem, is that a lot of us don't like our fathers. A lot of people don't have anything to do with their fathers. A lot of people are resentful towards their fathers. A lot of fathers... And I'm not saying anything about you or your dads, okay? Okay? A lot of fathers are absentee dads. A lot of fathers are bad dads. So then someone comes and says, God is like your father, it creates problems. Think about it. We're Egyptian, okay? I remember when I was a kid. I was a little shetty little kid. Believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe, okay? I remember my mom used to stay home with us. My dad used to work. We used to come home from school about 3:30. Between the hours of 3:30 and 6 p.m., man, we did whatever we want. We made a mess. We destroyed the place. We did this. But then somehow, mysteriously, every day around 5:58, okay, we decided that maybe now it's time to clean up. Maybe now it's time to stop screaming and doing all this. And then who just happened to walk in the door at 6? Oh, Dad just happened to be here. Okay? We knew that what every Egyptian knows, that just wait till your father comes home. Okay? Wait. Okay? Wait till your father comes home. I don't know much Arabic, but the word I know is Al-'ah, okay? Alright? A lot of us, when we think about our fathers, like my man Lucas over here, think of Al-'ah. Think about it. I tell a kid that every single day, think about it, the kid comes home, every day Dad is Al-'ah, Al-'ah, Al-'ah. Then he comes to school, to Sunday school, say, God is just like your father. No, thank you! I got one home, I want a second one. Alright, kid puts two and two together. So this is a problem that a lot of people have. That's why Christ was very clear, and He added this second part. He's like your Father in heaven, right? He's not like your Father on earth. Now, again, I'm not saying that all fathers are bad. Recently, you can give me a hand here for this one, I became a father. We have a little baby boy right now. So I know that not all fathers are bad. A lot of good fathers, okay? But by the same token, what He wants to say is even the best dad is still an earthly dad, and that's not how your heavenly Father is like. There's a few ways that we can see right now, just to kind of come, like some main ideas how God is not like your dad. And the first one is that God is never unreasonable. Okay? Again, Egyptian dads, sometimes, maybe like one in a million of them, can be slightly unreasonable. Meaning that they put a lot of demands on you, and nothing's ever good enough. A lot of times we think of our father as, let's be honest, as the fun police. If anyone's having fun, stop having fun. All right? And there's people over there, they want to go out and have fun. No fun for you, okay? We think of our fathers as the fun police, and a lot of us think of God as the same way. Why do I want to come to God? God's just going to tell me don't have friends, don't have a life, don't listen to music, don't talk to anyone, don't have friends in school. That's what a lot of us think about God, is that He's unreasonable. Think about it. A lot of us, our father's at home. If we get a C, He wants a B. If we get a B, He wants an A. If we get an A, He wants an A plus. If we get an A plus, He wants all A pluses. And if you think of your Heavenly Father as the same way, you're never going to have a good relationship with God. But I'm here to tell you that God is not unreasonable, all right? That God is not unpleasable. Some of us have tried our hardest, but let's be honest. There's never been a time where our dad has said, good job, son, or good job, daughter. God is not like that, okay? He's not unreasonable. The second thing that He's not, like your dad, He's not unreliable. All right? A lot of times, people who struggle to have a relationship with God, the reason is because they think of God as unreliable. They've been hurt by God. They feel like God has let them down. And let me tell you, this is one of the worst things that you can do. Isn't it funny how us human beings mess each other up and do all kinds of bad stuff to each other and then blame God for it? Let me tell you this. You're in the street, okay, and your best friend gets hit by a drunk driver. Is that God's fault? Did God drive the car? Did God tell the boy to drink? Absolutely not. So this is the worst thing that you can do, is blame God for something that He had nothing to do with. If God had His choice, He'd have told the boy, don't drink. Told him, definitely don't drink and drive. Why are we blaming God for what other people do? All right. And if you're going to say, well, God could have stopped them. Well, if God's going to stop them, then God's going to take away free will. He's got to take away your free will too. So don't just say, yo, God, take away all their free will and leave me mine. If God's going to be fair, and you want the drunk driver not to have free will, then you have no free will either. And that goes against our first point, which is unreasonable. God is reasonable. Okay? So like I said, a lot of times people think of God as, you know what, if He was really God and He was really such a good father, there wouldn't have been a Hurricane Katrina. There wouldn't have been a tsunami. There wouldn't have been car accidents. There wouldn't be murders, and there wouldn't be rape, and there wouldn't be all these things. A lot of people say, here's another one that I just discovered recently. A lot of people say that if there was really a God, there wouldn't be famine. There would be enough food on this earth for everyone. What's the answer to that? There is. Did you know that? Did you know that this earth, as it is right now, produces enough food for every single human being to have a 3,000 calorie per day diet? Okay? Though you don't know, 3,000 calories for normal people, it's okay. Okay? Egyptians, maybe add a few more calories, but actually, that's a good thing for us if we only had 3,000 calories a day. All right? 3,000 calories is usually what we eat like on Easter night after the liturgy. That's one sitting. But the earth produces enough food for everyone to eat. So don't blame God because some people abuse it and some people are greedy with it. That's not God's fault. God made the earth exactly with enough food to feed the people. So God is not unreliable. The other thing that God is not is that God is never unconcerned. This is a big one that we struggle with. All right, especially in, I'll be honest, our generation struggles with this one. And what that is that we think of God as too busy for me. And again, this comes a lot of times from our fathers. That our fathers are never there for me. Our fathers are always too busy. Our fathers are always working. Our fathers are always watching TV. Our fathers are always in a bad mood. Or they're always, you know, unconcerned about me or anything like that. And a lot of times this keeps us, like I said, we don't want to get... Why should we get so close to a God who's unconcerned? Well, the goal of today is to figure out, like I said, that God is not any of these things. So then, what is God really like? And the goal of today is to erase the misconceptions. So I'm going to ask you for a favor. Erase what you think about God. Pretend, like I said, you came from the moon today. You don't know anything about God. Erase what you think about God from the past. And let's go through together and see from what the Bible teaches us and what life teaches us what God is really like. And let's get rid of the misconceptions and, like I said, and see what He's really like. I believe that if you want to make a difference in your life, that the difference is not knowing about me, but knowing about God. All right? And those who did the most in this world and were the happiest and led the best lives were those who knew God the best, knew what He's like, not focused on me. All right? So the first thing, let me click there, what God is really like is that God is a caring Father. Click there. All right? God is a caring Father. If you ask me, the number one characteristic of God, it's this. All right? You cannot know God. When the Bible defines God, it says God is love. So you can't know God without knowing love and without knowing His care for you and His compassion upon us. Your brain is like this big. And God's love is like this big. You can't fit all of God's love in your... What I'm saying is God cares about you, regardless of what you think or what you believe, cares about you more than you realize and more than you can ever possibly understand how much He cares about you. Look at Psalm 104 right here, verse 13. It says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Compassion. Caring. These are words that come to mind when I discuss, when I think about what God is like. You know, there's a story. You guys know the story very well. When our Lord Jesus Christ is in the boat with the disciples, and there's a storm, okay? And it starts to get really wavy and really windy and really this and really that. And what do the, and our Lord Jesus Christ is sleeping. The apostles wake him up and they ask him a question. What's the question? This is a very important question, and a question everyone must answer. The question is, I didn't put it up there, but they say, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care about us? This is a very profound question. And I believe that every single person really has to get to the root of the answer of this one. Because if you don't believe that God cares about you, why am I going to spend my time coming to church, spend time with a person who doesn't care about me? Why am I going to go all the way and sit through a 2, 3, 4 hour liturgy, whatever it is, okay? Why am I going to sit through a liturgy for someone who doesn't care about me? Why am I going to not go hang out with this group of people because it makes someone happy who doesn't even care about me? If you don't believe that God cares about you, then all the other stuff, it'll never work, okay? So this is an important question that you settle with yourself. Does God care about me? Teacher, do you not care that I am perishing? Do you not care that I'm failing English? Do you not care that my parents are always yelling at me? Do you care or don't you care? What's the answer to that question? Well, the answer is right here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. St. Peter teaches us to cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Doesn't say cast some of your care. Doesn't say cast most of your care. It says all. That means if you got car payments and you got no money in the bank, does God care? Yes. That means that if you got no friends in school and everyone makes fun of you, does God care? Yes. That means that if you got a flat tire in your car and you're in the middle of the street, does God care? Absolutely He cares. He cares for you. That's what the Bible teaches us. Okay? There is nothing in your life that God doesn't care about, because He's ultimately more concerned about you than anything else. That's His whole reason of existence. And I don't know if you were paying attention downstairs when the gospel was being read during Ashe. Does anyone remember what the gospel was about? It was exactly about this. It came from Matthew chapter 6. All right? Click ahead. I didn't even know it was going to be on there. But our Lord was telling His disciples, He said, don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Again, a common misconception is that God doesn't care about my clothes. God only cares about whether I fast or not. All right, and God only cares whether I went to Taco Bell and said no cheese and no sour cream. That's the only thing God cares about. No, He says He cares about what you... He does care about what you eat in the Taco Bell, but He also cares about what you drink and what you wear. And He cares about everything. The Bible says He even cares about the number of heads on your hair. And guys, a lot of you are going to start to lose those too. And He cares about every single one of them. He cares about the long ones and the short ones, the fro ones and the shaved ones. He cares about every hair. You know, the Bible also says that He cares about every tear. You know, you're going to get to heaven one day, and it says that in God's book is recorded every tear that has come out of your eye. You're going to show up in heaven, and God's going to say, Abuna Anthony, welcome. You have cried 10,472 tears in your life, and I remember every single one of them. And I remember this one when it hit the ground. And I remember this one when it was coming out your eye. I remember every tear that you ever cried. One time someone came to me, was talking about the love of God, and he was telling me, you know what? The problem is, Abuna, I want to stop this sin, but I don't think I love God enough because I can't stop this sin. You know what my response was? The problem is not that you don't love God enough. The problem is you don't know how much God loves you. And I really believe that's the root of it all. Because if you knew how much God loved you, you have no choice. It's out of your hands. If I realized the love of God and the magnitude of God's love for me, how God is looking at me when everyone else is laughing at me, and how God really cares about me, you have no choice. That's why our love to God, all right, is a response to His love to me, not vice versa. Okay? I don't love God so that He will love me. I love Him because He did love me and He does love me already. So that's the first thing, is that above and beyond anything else, God is your Father, but not like your earthly father. He's a caring Father. And if you have the most caring Father in the world, He's 10 bazillion times even greater than that because He's God Almighty. The second characteristic of God and His fatherhood is He is a consistent Father as well. He's consistent. What does that mean? What does it mean to have an inconsistent Father? Let me give you an example. Oh, sure, the summer is coming up. If you do good in school, I'll let you go away with your friends. Summer comes up, straight A's, Dad. Let. No, maybe next summer. And a lot of times, like I said, we think of God as the same way. We think God promises things, then pulls them back away from me. That God says, I'll make you really, really happy, and I do what He says, and I'm not happy. Is God inconsistent? Absolutely not. Look at what James chapter 1, verse 17 says. That every good and perfect gift, or every good gift and every perfect gift, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. No variation or shadow of turning. If God promises it today, it's going to come through tomorrow. If God says I'll be there, He'll be there. If God says I care, that means I care regardless. All right? It's not a conditional. Not I care as long as you did something like for me. As long as you're my child, and as long as you're breathing, I care. It doesn't matter what you do or anything like that. Now again, earthly fathers are sometimes inconsistent. All right? Sometimes they are moody. Okay? Sometimes they're in good moods. It's good to ask for stuff then. Sometimes they're in bad moods. It's good to avoid them then. Okay? Thank God that He's not like that. Hey, if God were inconsistent, if God was ever in a bad mood, I thank God that He never was, because I know there were some times where I'd have put Him in a bad mood, all right? Where I'd have made Him in a bad mood, and I thank God that He didn't zap me on the spot or like make the earth open up and swallow me, okay? I thank God that I didn't catch Him on a bad day or anything like that, because He'd have destroyed me and destroyed the rest of us. But that's not the way He is. He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I do not change, all right? In the midst of a world that's always changing, all right, and there's always instability, and there's always inconsistency, thank God that we have the solid rock upon whom there is no change and there's no variation. And like I said, the reason this is so important to understand is one of the biggest things that keeps people from God is this idea that He broke a promise. And you know what the most common promise that people think that He broke is? Is this whole idea of happiness. All right? We think that God said you should be happy. Can someone show me in the Bible where God promises that if you are obedient, everything, you'll have a life of happiness? Can you show me that? Anyone? Find me the verse, because I'd like to see it. Because everyone has it in their mind that God should make me happy, and God promised to make me happy. It doesn't say that. You know what it says? It says, in the world you shall have happiness. Right? In the world you shall have what? Tribulations. You know what tribulation is? It's the opposite of happiness. It's sadness. It's badness. It's madness. Okay? It's all kinds of bad stuff in this world. And that's exactly what God promises. That if you are my child, there's going to be bad stuff. But don't worry, because I'm going to give you the strength to get through it. Okay? But get off this idea that God promised that I should be happy. That God promised that I should get straight A's. That God promised that I should have a new car. Or I should have a promotion at work. That God didn't promise any of that kind of stuff. All right? God always does what He says He does. So God is a consistent Father. The third characteristic that we see about God is He's also a close Father. Okay? He's close. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe I'm kind of dating myself here and showing my old age here. When I was a kid, there was a song by Bette Midler. Do you guys know who Bette Midler is? Right? Bette Midler is like really old school, like really, really old school. All right, you can Google her when you get home. All right, and she had a song that called "God is Watching Us from a Distance." Have you heard that? God is watching us from a distance. Who said He's watching from a distance? Other than Bette Midler, the great theologian that she was. All right, isn't that watching from a distance? Who said that God is a far God? God is a close Father. He's not a faraway God that you have to, take a time warp to get to or something like that. He's a very, very close Father. As he says right here in Acts chapter 17, verse 27. The apostles are preaching here, and it says, God did this. We're talking about a bunch of stuff that God did, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Do you understand what this verse is saying? Talking about the great acts of salvation that God did, but I didn't put all that in there. Why did he do that? So that they, you, should seek the Lord in the hope that you may grope for him and find him. But don't worry. He's not far from us. Sometimes, again, this goes back to our earthly fathers. That our earthly fathers are absentee fathers. You know, Time magazine did a study, and they said that since 1969 to today, okay, so in the past 35 years, that parents now spend an average of 22 hours per week less with their kids today than they did in 1969. 22 hours per week less today than they did back then. And you wonder why people have this impression that God is always busy, that God is far away, that I need to send God an email, or because I can't reach him, I can't call him directly, that God is in a place far, far away. It's because sometimes, like I said, our parents give us this thing. Well, I'm here to tell you that God is not a faraway God, that God is never hiding from us, that God is right there. All right, and as soon as you want him, you don't got to go very far, because he's right there waiting to talk to me and you. This idea that God is close by has certain implications. All right, it means certain things. All right, it means three things in particular. That number one, he's never too busy for me. And again, earthly fathers, are they sometimes too busy for us? Do they ever tell you to come back after the news is over? That come back after, I finished eating dinner. That not now, I'm busy or I'm on the phone or something like that. Well, God is never too busy, because look what it says in Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. Second thing that it means is it means that he loves to meet my needs. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You know how sometimes you ask your dad and you feel like you're annoying them, okay? That my parents get annoyed at my request. God is never annoyed. You ask him for anything. He's there. Not saying he's going to give you anything. Don't misquote me. Not saying he's going to give you. But is he always welcome to you asking? Absolutely. And if it's something that's good for you and something that's positive, of course he wants to give it to you. The third thing that it means, and most importantly, is that God is sympathetic to my hurts. Meaning, like I said, when you cry, God feels it. When you hurt, God feels it. I remember back when I was in seventh grade, something I'll never ever forget in my life. I used to play football, okay, for my community team. And our coach, his name was Coach Woolsey. Never forget Coach Woolsey. Coach Woolsey was a tough guy. All right, this was the ultimate tough guy. You broke your foot, run some cold water over it, get back in the game. This is the way he was, okay? There was nothing that he considered serious. No matter how much pain you were in, his cold water and ice could solve anything. I remember one time, I'll never forget it for the life of me, because it's still like etched in my head. It's like a traumatic experience. Coach Woolsey's son, Ryan Woolsey, played on the team. The ultimate tough guy. Nose guard. Center. Okay, this was the toughest guy in the team. One time they were going to the car. And you know how you hurt someone getting the car door slammed on their finger? That hurts. That's not what happened. Car door slammed on the finger is this side, okay? The back side. I'm talking about this side, okay? This side. His finger was in there, the door slammed. Oh man, I never heard someone scream so loud in my life. I was just like, oh man. And all of us were like, oh. Coach Woolsey told his own son, stop crying. Put some ice on it. He took him to the doctor, thank God. He took him to the doctor. But man, he just told him, what's the big deal, and suck it up, and all this kind of stuff. I don't know what Ryan Woolsey's like today, but I don't even know how many fingers the kid has, but I hope that he doesn't think that God in heaven is like that. That God looks at you crying and says, come on, you wimp, get up. Put some cold water on it and stop being such a baby. That's not the way God is. God is sympathetic to our hurts. And believe me, if you hurt, he hurts 10 times more than you do. You could ask Abuna, or you could ask any parent. If you want to come and hit me in the face, no problem. I won't be happy with it, but by the same token, I could take it. If you, may God so help you, if you try to do that to my son, I'll kill you. Okay? I don't mind what you do to me. You touch my son, you're dead. Okay? And that's earthly. How much more, Heavenly Father? Don't think that He just stands up there and watches you crying and sees you lonely and sees you sad and sees you no one loves you and says, you're on your own, man. No way. He's sympathetic to our hurt. Look at Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. You know what that verse says is? You know how, no matter what parents tell you, I'll tell you the truth. Every parent has favorites. No doubt. Okay? They'll tell you the opposite. And they'll tell you, no, we love you all equally. I know. My parents have a favorite. It ain't me. And I know. I already told my wife that we have a boy now. We better have a girl because there's no way I can love a boy as much as I love the existing one right now. The next one would be number two at best. All right? All parents have favorites. You know what this verse says here? It says that, you know what? Not saying that God has favorites. But if you want to be really near to God, you know what He really has a special place in His heart for? Is those who have a broken heart. Is those who are lonely. Is those who are sad. Is those who really have no one to love them or no one to care about them. God has a special place in His heart for those people. So never think that God is, like I said, like Coach Woolsey or anything like that. So we said in the beginning, God is A. What's the first characteristic of God? Caring. All right, He's a caring God. Love, compassion is the most important thing. Cares about you more than you know and that you can understand. Number two, God is A. Consistent means He doesn't change. Same God yesterday, today, and forever. He loves Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He loves you. He's willing to bless them. He's willing to bless you. He's willing to reward. He's willing to reward same way. Then number three, like I said right here, God is a close God. And the number four characteristic about God is that He is a competent Father. He's competent. Do you know what that means? I used a big SAT word there. What does competent mean? Three syllables. What does competent mean? Yes? Very good. Able to do anything. There's nothing that God can't do. Yes? Exactly. Can do anything and there's no limit. Thank you very much. I like that answer. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse 37. It says, with God, nothing will be impossible. All right? So this is one where we really have to erase what's in our mind. Especially if you grew up in the TV generation. Anyone here watch TV when they're a kid? Anyone here like to watch TV? If you watch TV, you'll notice something. All TV shows, at least when I was growing up, when they view fathers, do they view fathers as competent? Usually, fathers are bumbling idiots. All right, and I'm thinking about three shows. When I was a kid, even though I hated this show with all my guts, it was the most popular show in the country. It was Married with Children. Worst show ever. Ever. Very bad show. Okay? And if you ever knew anything about that show, Al Bundy was the father. He was an incompetent fool is what he was. Okay? Another show that was very popular, I may have seen an episode or two in my day, is The Simpsons. Okay? And The Simpsons portrays... I've heard about it. Youth have told me about it, okay? And confession and stuff, right? The Simpsons, again, portrays fathers as, you know, big, fat idiots who don't know what they're doing, okay? And the other one I think of is Home Improvement. That's a little bit better show with Tim the Tool Man Taylor, who no matter how much he tries to do something right, always messes things up. So a lot of us think of our father as the same way. But God is not incompetent. God is very competent. And He's not an idiot. And He's not a fool. And He doesn't mess things up. That anything God wants to do, just like our good friend back there just said, anything He wants to do, He can do. All right? And there's nothing that's impossible for Him. Look at this verse right here. One of my favorite verses. If you want to really improve your prayer life, and if you want to have stronger faith, and you want a smile on your face, you should memorize this verse. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Okay? Again, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What does exceedingly abundantly mean? It means a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. Okay? It means not just abundantly, but exceedingly abundantly. So like more than you can possibly imagine. That means think of the greatest, coolest, most amazing thing that God can do. What's the most amazing thing that God can do? Think about the most amazing thing. God can do that like 20 times with his eyes closed and his hand tied behind his back. God can do that easily. He can go exceedingly abundantly above that. You know the example I always think of here? I think back to our good friend Moses in the Old Testament. You know when Moses was running from the Egyptians? All right, he was running and the bad guys were behind him. And God told him, go. Okay, so he said, okay, God, you know, whatever you say. So he's walking and he's running and the bad guys are starting to come. To the left, mountains. To the right, more mountains. In front, Red Sea. This is quite an issue here we have, okay? Okay? Mountains over here, can't go up them. Mountains over here, can't go there. Bad guys in the back, trying to kill us, can't go back there. There's a sea in front of us. Okay, the logical thing, you know what? God, send us a boat. That's what God's going to do. People of Israel, God's going to send us a boat. I'm sure He is. God says, no boat. Okay, God's going to send a hovercraft. A hovercraft, okay? It can go over the mountain or it can go through the sea, either one. God says, no hovercraft. Helicopter? Nope. Plane? Nope. God, don't you love us? And God, don't you care about us? And God, can't you do anything? And God, why did you fail? Shh, relax, listen. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to part the sea in two. You're going to part the sea in two? I'm going to part the sea in two. I don't know you can do that, God. I can do exceedingly abundantly above the helicopter. If you think the greatest thing I can do is send a helicopter, I'll part the sea in two. All right, God, that's a pretty good solution. We'll take it. God can do exceedingly abundantly. Some of us are so stuck that the only way I'm going to be happy in life is if God gives me this. God says, I can give you that in my sleep, but I want to give you better. Some of us think that the only way that I'm going to be successful, or if I go to this school, and I didn't get into this school, and why God didn't let me get into this school, and why, God, you hate me. Maybe God can do much better than get you into that school. And don't get yourself stuck on thinking that, like I said, that this is the only way God can work. God can do exceedingly abundantly what you can imagine, what you can think, and there's no limit to what God can do, unlike your earthly father. So my question to you right now is, of these four, if your spiritual life is struggling, or if your relationship with God is not where it should be, or where it needs to be, don't focus so much on yourself, focus on God. And what I'll challenge each one of you to do is, look at these four characteristics. God is caring father, that God is a consistent father, He's a close father, and He's a competent father. Look at these four and see which one of these four areas am I struggling with? Which one of these four areas am I doubting? Am I not trusting that God can do? Which one of these four areas is lacking in my life? Do I not realize the care of God? Do I not realize how God is reliable? Or do I not realize how God is able? Or do I not realize how close God can be to me? Okay? If you don't realize it, like I said, you're never going to live the life God wanted you to live. You're always going to have stress. You're going to live a subpar life because you don't understand Him the way He really is. You know, in the beginning I told you that when Christ wanted to tell us how to relate to God, He said, call Him your Father, call Him our Father. And the word that was used, the Greek word, is Ava. All right? Do you know what Ava literally means? It doesn't mean Father. Father's not the best translation. Do you know what a better translation is? It's like Daddy. It's very much a term of endearment. All right? Think about what Christ is saying right here. He's saying, when you approach God Almighty, you call Him your daddy. You call Him in a term of endearment. Hey, when I walk home, when I get into my house tonight, of course my kid's only a young kid, but when he's older and I walk home in after a long day, do I want my kid to stand up and salute and say, oh, thou the master and procreator of this household? I don't want him to do that. I want him to come and like kick me in the shin and hug me and wrestle me to the ground and say, hey, Dad, that's what I want. I want us to be friends and I want us to love each other. The same thing with your father. Some of us have a very, I won't say, but other religions have this mentality. Other religions we may know very well have a mentality of that no, you only go to God and you have to speak in funny languages to Him. And you can't really call Him your daddy and you have to, you know, salute and bow. And that's not the way God is, okay? Thank God that He's not like that. He's a close dad. He wants us to be, like I said, now, I'm not saying we don't have reverence for God and we don't have respect for God, but again, what God wants is to be your daddy. Another way of saying it is, He wants an intimate relationship with you. So many of us are content with a arm's length relationship with God. That God is there, I visit Him on Sunday, visit Him on Friday, but God, don't get too involved in my life. What does God have to do with Mondays? Nothing. What does God have to do with Saturday? It has nothing to do with God. God is there for Sunday and those other days. But we don't have that intimate a relationship. I'm telling you, that's not the way God envisioned it. That God wants to be your daddy, and God wants to be your closest friend, and He wants to be, like I said, the one who takes care of you, the one who provides for you, the one who does everything. Now, last thing I'll say. I said all these things about God, and I used an example of, like I said, earthly fathers. Are all of us God's kids? Does God have this relationship with everyone? Forget about everyone. Forget about all of us. The entire world. Does God have this relationship, a father relationship, with everyone? Yes and no. Okay? Yes and no is the answer. Yes, He's the Father of every single person, because every single one of us, regardless of what we believe or even what we know, was created in the image and likeness of God, and we are all the children of God. But again, let's take the earthly father example. Doesn't it take more for me to be a father to my child than just giving birth to him? If I just gave birth to my child and I disappeared and went to Australia for the rest of my life, we're not going to have that intimate father-son relationship. It takes a relationship is what I'm trying to say. So yes, God is the father of everyone. But does everyone in the world experience the characteristics of God? God's care and God's competence and God's consistency. Does everyone else get to... You don't get to experience that unless you're living in relationship with God. Unless you choose, say, Father, I want you as part of my life, and I want to be part of yours. And when I get up in the morning, I want to talk to you. And when I go to sleep at night, I want to talk to you. And when I have a tough decision, I want to ask your opinion. And when I need help with something, I'm going to go to you before I go to anyone else. Okay? There are a lot of people in this world who have given birth to children, but we can't even really call them their father, because either the children don't want to have anything to do with the father, or the father don't want to have anything to do with the children. I hope that's not the way our relationship with God is. Okay? Because like I said, in the end, all of us are the children of God. But some of us choose not to have that relationship. And if you don't have that relationship, you're never going to experience all these things that I talked about here. Okay? Anyone have any questions? Well, glory be to God forever. Amen.